background music there of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And I believe it is program number 205. 205 in that series, you bet. So we're a little bit late, but we're going to get the interview in 6 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We're at 60 degrees here in central Minnesota. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2 and 107.7 on the FM dial. Broadcasting from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council Studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, yes, we are Chasm. And yes, we have our guest on the line, and we're going to go to the phone lines right now and bring him in. We have Mr. Steve Harris on the line, and say good morning to Steve. How are you doing, Steve?
Well, Si, I'm doing great. Thank you. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Been a busy morning here. I know you said you were streaming, listening, so you heard all of the stuff that goes on here, and it's always an interesting morning here on Chasm.
Yep, busy place, that's for sure.
For sure. Well, Steve, I got a CD from a good friend, Marie Ullman, and it says it's the Vita Elznick Tribute Band made in Ohio. And folks around here know Marie very well, but we don't know you at all. So can you bring us up to speed? Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're born and raised and how you got into music and a little bit, whatever you can tell us.
Well, that's a tall order.
Okay.
When I was a child, my mother insisted that every one of the children, I had three brothers as well, but we all had to take piano lessons, and there were some days I didn't think that was such a good idea as a young boy, but later in life I came to appreciate that. I was really active in high school a lot in band activities, and I played baritone horn, trombone, middle brass stuff, and piano, of course, thanks to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went off to college and got a job and got married and raised a family, and the music kind of all went into the background. Flash forward to 2000, I think it was 11, when two of my brothers and I decided to form a polka band.
Okay.
And we did that basically as a tribute to our mom,
uh-huh.
Who had actually started a polka band with a couple of her cousins as well as my dad, and they were kind enough to, of course, everyone did this back in the day, to have the kids involved, too. I was 11 years old, playing in a polka band. And on the 50th anniversary of when that band was formed, we put together this little group of musicians to play in our hometown in Ohio, where I was raised, in Northwest Ohio.
Okay.
German farming community, very similar, I think. Maybe weather might be a little bit different, but very similar to what you have in central Minnesota. That had been kind of instilled in me, and then I moved away and got interested in other things in life, but it all came back as I got a little older, maybe a little wiser, and appreciated all the musical background that I had. So we formed this band, and then it wasn't really a serious band, but over time, we got to the point where we felt like maybe we should do a little recording, and the name of the band is called the VTEC Elznick Tribute Band. It's named after the company, actually, that I now own, which is the VTEC Elznick Company, one of America's and the world's largest publishers of polka music. And we're still there. If you go to VTECElznick.com or to MusicPublishersOfAmerica.com, you'll find it. So we put this little band together, and had a series of events that happened. Actually, Marie was coming to Ohio. We're having a party there with a number of folks that go to South Texas during the wintertime. Winter Texans were having a party there, and we decided to go to the recording studio, and that's kind of how the whole CD got started.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a dance hall in our hometown where the president of that heard the CD, and he liked it, so now we're being booked for gigs, too. But I have to tell you, Si, for me, it's a 650-mile one-way trip for band practice, so we don't have too many.
I believe that. Because where do you make home, then?
I'm sorry?
Where do you make home then? You're in Virginia.
Oh, where
then,
do I make home? Right now I live in a, well, we're close to Ohio or the Midwest where I grew up. But
yeah.
We live outside of a little town called Whitestone, Virginia, population 400.
Uh-huh.
You go down a little, it's a paved road, but you go down a road with cornfields on both sides, and when you get to the end of the road, that's where I live.
All right, okay.
We're along the Chesapeake Bay, so, you know, we have the water activities, which is nice, and a little warmer,
sure,
which is not so great in the summertime, but yep, the rest of the year it's fine.
Good.
And then, you know, as you mentioned, Marie Ullman, and Marie and I actually just met last year when she started coming down to South Texas to
sure,
to hang out, and then, you know, we have a lot of jam, polka jams down there, and I like her music, and so we traded, basically. We traded CDs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this is a brand new one that you guys just released then, right? Made in Ohio?
That's right.
And you
so we released it in January of 2017.
Okay.
And what we wanted to do on the CD, first of all, was to kind of replicate to the extent that we could the kind of sound that we would hear at the polka jams in South Texas. So there's a lot of the old standards on there, like Schnatter Polka and Bluesgirt Waltz and things like that.
Yes.
It's called Made in Ohio because basically the members in the band all come from Ohio. In fact, we're all, well, my two brothers and I, born and raised in the same town, a cousin from a town 7 miles away, and then our accordion player is in the next county, but he's pretty close to the county line, so we count him in too.
Uh-huh.
But definitely all Ohioans by birth. And the album was actually recorded in Ohio at Ted Lang's studio. Ted Lang, of course, is part of Squeezebox Band, and Molly B. is his wife, so
right,
we know those folks really well. We recorded the CD at Ted's studio, and actually Ted plays the drums on the album as well. So it's a different, kind of a different sound of what people normally think of when they think of Ted Lang. They, you know, accordion,
yep,
is his principal instrument now, but he's a hell of a heck of a...
Yeah, there you go. I second that motion there. I've listened to his music, and he is a very, very good drummer. So, yes, very good. You mentioned that we live. Is there family? Do you have family around you there where you're living? Wife and
good
kids?
Good question.
Or?
We have two adult children and
uh-huh,
grandchildren, and they're a couple hours away, but close enough that we can visit them on a fairly regular basis. We do a lot of other things now, and retirement too, things that you couldn't do when you had responsibilities in a day job, but
sure,
we travel a bit.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, we go to South Texas in the winter, and that's just a great experience. If folks have not done that, I'd encourage them to go down for a week and try it. There's music of all kinds going on all during the winter time. Some of it's free, and the dances, most actually all the jams are free. The dances are a very low admittance charge, $5-$10 a person, and you know, it's not just polka music, although that's one of our big interests, of course, but country music and bluegrass and gospel and big band and all kinds of musical diversions. So it's a great place to spend the winter and get out of the cold.
Absolutely. So you're married. Mention your wife's name then.
My wife's name is Ann. Yeah, we've been married, in fact, oh my gosh, she's not listening, so I can probably tell that she won't get too angry.
Okay.
we've been married now. We're coming up on 43 years. Same woman.
Yeah.
Same. And we've been together that whole period of time.
Awesome. And your children, their names?
The oldest son is Stefan, S-T-E-F-A-N.
Uh-huh.
And the younger son, his name is Elliot.
Okay. And any music?
Both these guys are, we feel pretty proud of them. They've married and are raising families of their own and have responsible jobs and are wonderful, wonderful dads to their kids. We're really glad to see that, because that's not something you see 100% of the time, no matter where or when you are.
Exactly. It's a different world than when we grew up. You know, it's evolving, that's for sure. Any music in those guys, Steve? Are they doing any music?
That's a really interesting question, because, you know, when they were growing up as kids, it's always a fine line, side between, you know, pushing too hard or trying to encourage. And we encouraged them to get involved in music, and it just didn't click. But sometimes these things pass a generation, and our oldest granddaughter, who is now 9, is really into music and dance. She's in an Irish step dance group, and also taking violin lessons. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the next generation will pick it up. They certainly know all about this music because my 2 sons, actually, they like the music. It's just that they don't play. They'll play the music on the CD in the car, and in fact, one of the other grandchildren, when she was younger, heard one of these CDs and polka CD, and my son tried to change the channel, and she knew that I'd played in a polka band. She said, "No, Grandpa, or no, Daddy, I want Grandpa music." So, you know, we're making an impact there, keeping it alive.
Well, that's great. Well, Steve, if I can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment here, it's already 7 minutes past 12 here in central Minnesota. We usually read the ad at 12 o'clock for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation, if you can stand by.
I'll be right here.
All righty. So, the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages, reminding you to stop by each and every Friday and Saturday and patronize our fine local charitable organizations who host the cookouts out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market. Organizations like the St. Joe Lions, the Y2K Lady Lions, yes, the Knights of Columbus, the Sons of the Legion, and others, they're all volunteering their time and talent, cooking up those great entrees on the grill, like hamburger patties, brats, hot dogs, and more, each organization in their own special way. All proceeds from these sales are usually returned right back to the community. Hats off to all of you for a job well done. And coming up this weekend on Friday and Saturday, doing back-to-back weekends, it will be the St. Joe Lady Lions. Come out and roar just a little bit and socialize with the ladies while enjoying a brat and a beverage for a very reasonable fee. The St. Joe Meat Market cures and smokes pig ears and bones for pet food treats. There are treats for all sizes of pets, everything from Little Muffy and Cece to Big Fido and Pluto. Pick up a special treat for your pet your next trip into the St. Joe Meat Market. The brat of the week this week is a very popular one. It's the smoked maple with wild rice brat. Stock up with plenty for when friends and family drop by. And as always, you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. The St. Joe Meat Market open daily Monday through Thursday, 6 to 6. Friday nights till 7, Saturdays till 5. They're closed on Sunday. As always, for more in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. And you can always call us, 320-363-4913. That's the St. Joe Meat Market. And Steve, for being our guest on the program, we started this some 200-some shows ago. Wally Pickle, if you've heard of Wally Pickle, the famous trumpet player, he was our first guest back in 2013, and we've been doing this ever since. We put up a nice meat package at the meat market, and along with Chasm, we send that out to you and hope that you and those around you can enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
We most certainly will, and to be considered in the same company as Wally Pickle is really quite an honor, so nice to hear his name mentioned.
Absolutely, and he was especially a brass player like you, yeah. Yep, neat. Well, Steve, I was going to get to this before. This is the brand new CD. You also sent me a promo copy of another Vita Elznick band, and I left it in the other room, so I'll have to grab that after a while. But that one was recorded earlier, huh? The same thing, a tribute band?
Well, that, actually, it gets a little more complicated, but not too hard. I mentioned earlier, sorry, that I own the VTEC Elznick company, which is publisher of all that VTEC Elznick music, all in the polka genre. We have literally thousands of selections for accordion, for piano, for small bands. Actually, a lot of the old songs have now been rearranged for concert band by a very well-known band director from Wisconsin, Hortonville, and Ernie Brenneman is his name. Some of your listeners may know about Ernie. But
Dorf Capella.
That particular, we have 2 CDs, actually. The first, let me go backwards.
Okay,
from the VTEC Elznick Tribute Band, that's my band, and that was, as I said, we were replicating sort of the sound that we hear down in the Rio Grande Valley in the wintertime. Then the year before that, we did a recording with Ernie's band, which was all of his arrangements of our music for concert band. He has a band of his own, been together 27 years now, and plays all through the upper Midwest. And that was called Music from the Heartland.
Oh, yes.
There are, that's a different sound. There's no accordion on that one. There's, as I mentioned, accordion on the Made in Ohio CD with my band. But it is designed to basically help band directors hear, among other things, help band directors hear what this music would sound like if played by their band. And so, in fact, last February, the New Braunfels Texas High School Band had their spring concert, and it featured Bernie's arrangements, Ernie Brennan's arrangements of our music, and those songs all came straight from the CD. Some of the arrangements that Ernie did were of some old manuscripts that we had found and music that had never been published. So it was really that was really a fun project. The very first one that we mentioned or that we produced was in coordination with Alex Meixner.
Yes,
and the name of the CD is Then and Now. It's an attempt to try to present polka music in different styles based upon the way it might sound now by a modern musician like Alex, or the way it might have sounded, you know, back in the 20s and 30s when some of this music was very common. The link on all this is that it's published by my company, Music Publishers of America, which owns VTech Elsnick. And what we're trying to do is to present in a lot of different ways music from the genre so that people recognize that, you know, there's lots of different ways to use this music. And what you might like or might be familiar with would be different than maybe another sound. And we're using that to help promote the genre, polka genre, more generally. One other thing I just wanted to mention, if I could, so
sure.
I know I can't talk all, actually I could talk all day, but you don't have time, is something called the Polka Preservation Fund. Bowling Green State University in Ohio, actually it's my alma mater, has one of the country's best music libraries and also just an outstanding College of Musical Arts. And we donated two copies of everything from our collection. I think they have, as I said, 2,000 different selections of 4,000 pieces of music, which they have begun to catalog. But beyond just preserving it, we thought, in conjunction with Bowling Green State University, it would really be useful and fun to actually do something with the music. So Bowling Green started a fund. It is a perpetual fund called the Polka Preservation Fund. And donations to that fund are tax exempt, and the funds are being used, let's say, not just to archive and preserve the music, but to fund projects that would, for example, produce a summer camp for young accordion players that would be introduced to this music, or some sort of a training exercise for high school band directors that may not be familiar with the music. So we're doing a lot more than just selling polka music online or making CDs. We're also trying to do what we can in our way to preserve this beautiful, beautiful music.
Wow, that's awesome. That is really awesome. That's great. Real quickly, Steve, so the VTech Elsnick, you know, I was a concertina player back in the day. I still have them, and I'm not very practiced anymore. I don't get much opportunity to do that. But if you remember, or did you ever hear of the group, the Deutschmeisters, Tony and Betty Wolf out of Central Minnesota?
I know of them. I don't know the band that well, but I see a lot of their music. That's
yeah.
For sure.
Well, Betty was a fantastic teacher of the concertina. And I spent 5 years, week in and week out. My folks had me take lessons for 5 years with her. And so I would come there for a half-hour session every week. And so then as the lessons went along, after she had written a book, instructions for learning the concertina, and it's very good. I still have it, very dog-eared and everything, but it got used a lot. But after I had kind of mastered, or however you'd say, accomplished that book, then she would sell me, you know, a piece of music, probably two a week, so that I'd have something to work on. And a lot of those sheets were concertina music with two-piece sheets, a folder type, if you will, and VTech Elsnick. And I mean, I've got everything from the Hayseed Waltz to the Green Meadow Waltz to Springtime Polka. Yeah. And so that's all of your stuff then, huh? And were you selling that back at that time?
Well, one thing I should say is we're focused on, well, for example, I talked about the rearranging of, we've got like 50 waltzes and polkas and I think a Scottish or two in there that have been rearranged for high school band with full scores or for concert band with full scores. So that's where, and on, our focus has been on that and on the CDs, which ties in with that.
Sure.
We're not really very connected. I personally don't have a background in concertina, but Jerry Minar is a good friend.
Uh-huh.
And so Jerry and I got talking, and Jerry up in New Prague, Minnesota, as you know.
Yep.
And Jerry basically handles all the VTech Elsnick concertina music, which he uses in his business and working with the schools and stuff like that. So that concertina music is still very much alive. Jerry pushes that and in his own way to his folks, and we're trying to make an imprint, too, with everything else,
accordion
and piano and band is where we're focused.
So just a little bit more. I don't want to beat the dead horse type of thing here, but you didn't form the company, the VTech Elsnick, then, though, but you did purchase it. Somebody else actually started it then, right?
Well, actually, short version of the history, the company goes back to the early 1900s.
Yeah.
It was originally a partnership by two guys, Otto Georgi and Louis VTech.
Okay.
And by the early 1920s, Mr. Georgi had moved on, and along came Louis VTech's nephew, Joe Elsnick.
Okay.
And so they've basically, the business continued with Louis VTech and his nephew, Joe Elsnick, in charge. It moved from Joe Elsnick to management by his four sons. He had four children, four boys anyway.
Uh-huh.
And over time, it eventually ended up in the hands of Bill Brown, in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Oh, really?
And so my brother, this is, you're getting the whole line here.
Yeah.
So my brother Todd Harris bought the business from Bill and Helen Brown. And then I was involved in kind of a support capacity, but then I retired, and my brother is quite a bit younger than me, has younger children, and so on. So, you know, it got to the point where he just couldn't put the kind of time in that this really required. And I said, okay, well, I'll take it on. And so that's the kind of the history, the entire history from about 1910 forward.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, and then the other, well, so I get a lot of phone calls, you know, because I'm involved in the music. I have a website. I sell polka CDs and all of that.
Yeah, it's been a pretty expansive group of publication or music that you got there, too,
Si. Thank you.
Quite a good stuff there.
You bet. And it requires a lot, but people will get on that website and they assume that you sell musical instruments, you sell music and all sorts. So I get all sorts of requests, repair. And one of the most common ones, though, is sheet music. People still looking for sheet music. So if I'm understanding you right, if people want, say, for example, concertina music, they could get the same music, but they would contact Jerry Minar, right?
They would.
Okay.
And if they want other music, they can contact me. Now, we do have, actually, it's two websites, but I'll try to avoid the confusion. We have a website, VTAC, VITAK hyphen Elsnick, ELSNIC.com, VTACElsnick.com.
Uh-huh.
And everything inside that we sell is all digital. You get and print out the copy that way.
Oh, okay.
We don't sell paper copies anymore. A lot of that stuff is gone and old and frail. And
sure.
That's why we've got archival copies of everything. We don't have the entire collection of music that we own listed on the website. We have archival copies of most of it. But the idea here is that, you know, it's a way to preserve the music because it's getting kind of old.
Yeah.
And also, it's just a lot faster and a lot quicker. If folks are not on the internet, it can be a little bit of a challenge. But I think most people have been able to figure out a way to go online and look at it. And if they don't have computer skills, they usually have son or a grandchild or something
exactly.
that is able to help them out on that.
Absolutely. A couple other quick questions for you, Steve. Number one, did you make your entire career, your living off of music then, or did you do something else besides?
I was wondering when that was going to come up. Now, people, when I tell people what I did, they look at me funny.
Yeah.
Before I retired, I was an international tax attorney.
Oh.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with music. I had a lot of clients that were Japanese headquartered companies, spent a lot of time in Japan. But as I said, it had absolutely nothing to do with music. It was a very interesting
career, huh?
Profession. But yeah. I'm having a lot more fun now, so I'm sure.
I believe that. In that time, did you, you've played, obviously, an accomplished musician. Did you play with other bands, or how'd you get out and about otherwise?
A couple things kind of happened all at once. It wasn't kind of a grand design that I had. It's just the way things happen. So I mentioned getting together, starting in 2011, I picked up a horn for the first time in like 45 years.
Oh, okay.
Started to practice so we could put on a special performance for my mother. And then I mentioned one of the members of that band, the tuba player actually, is a cousin. He's a winter Texan. He goes down to South Texas, been doing it for years. For the winter time, and he and I were pretty close. He invited me to come down, and went down for a week, and I said, wow, this is kind of interesting. Next year, it's going to go a little longer. I said, well, why don't you bring your horn?
Uh-huh.
So I brought my horn and started to play at the jam sessions, and that was really very helpful for me. I got to meet a lot of very accomplished musicians, learned how to, I guess, play a lot of this music by ear, which I hadn't done as a kid. Of course, uh-huh. I was a music reader, not an ear player.
Yeah.
In high school bands and things like that. So it was really, my education in music has come kind of late in life.
Okay.
Kind of self-taught, too, truthfully.
All right.
At least in this music, in this polka music.
So have you had much experience playing in any ballrooms or dance hall events, polka fests, or any of that in your area?
We've had, since we formed in 2011, we had, a couple events a year. We're a little more active now, but again, part of the challenge is just
traveling.
Where people are, and like in the wintertime when folks headed south, well, that doesn't work. Not everyone in the band. My two brothers are still working.
Sure,
they're not retired, so they stay up in Ohio.
Okay,
and other folks go to South Texas, so that doesn't work out very well. And then, I was 650 miles away, so we can't play every week. But we do play. Right now, we're playing at the Bavarian House in Deschler, Ohio, which is northwest Ohio. And that's about 20 miles away, actually, from Ted Lang's home.
Sure.
And, in fact, Ted's mom plays in her band.
Oh, wow.
She plays the keyboard with us.
Nice.
So we got that Lang connection going there.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, finally, Steve, I usually ask each and every guest, and this one's going to be a little more difficult. Most of the musicians maybe, come from playing 40, 50, 60 years or even 20, and they've got a lot of memories, a lot of experiences over the years, and we hear all kinds of stories. But I'm still going to ask you, any special event, any awards, anything in your lifetime, and it doesn't even have to be music related, but something that's special that you might want to share with the listeners that's, near and dear to your heart over the years? Good, bad, or otherwise?
I'm going back to my mother again. My mother just passed last year, so still think about her a lot.
Yeah.
She had a long and productive life. She was a very happy soul, and was a tremendously positive influence on not just her four boys, but on everyone that knew her. And so when we put this tribute thing together, we were playing at the little village park for a local festival. And I bought, because I wanted us to look professional, I bought band shirts for everybody in the band, and I had one extra made, and somewhere in the middle of the performance, I got up to the microphone and called out my mother and thanked her and had her come on up, and I gave her a T-shirt with a band, actually it's a polo shirt, that had the band logo on it, and said, thanks, Mom, this is for everything you did to help us get to this point
Wow.
Musically. so she was very appreciative. And we also, during that same event side, because this is the first time we'd done it, we didn't know if we were ever going to do that again.
Sure.
I had a videographer come out and record the band playing, and also did interviews with people, including my mother, so that's all preserved, and in local libraries and historical societies back in Ohio. So that was really special. If I'd not done nothing else but that, it was well worth it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very good. Well, Steve, our time has about run out, so take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us on our Musicians Come and Play. I tell each and every guest every week that the good Lord willing, you and I are both here down the road. We'll do this thing again sometime. Is that all right?
Oh, I would love to do that. Maybe the next time I'll do it in Albany.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good. The door is open here all the time. You're welcome anytime. So thanks a bunch, Steve, for joining us. And we'll let you run. And if you want to hang on the line, I'll talk to you off the air.
Okay.
Sounds good. Very good. There he goes, Mr. Steve Harris of the VTAC Elsnick Band, the tribute band. And we're going to hear music coming up in just a little bit. So don't go away.